Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Dana Gould comes in here in the second half. We do a Huelhauser at Huel's Jewels, and he goes further and is funnier and more surreal than I think we've ever done before. And those of you who are young students of improv, pull up a chair and listen to what Dana Gould does with the great Huelhauser. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Over 26 million people have their DNA in the four major testing providers' databases, which is vulnerable. Those companies, they can get hacked. The DNA info could be, it's a target for hackers, and they sell it on the dark web. It's important to understand how cybercrime is affecting our lives. Identity theft is another serious issue. People, protect yourself. It is 2020. Let's get LifeLock. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. You could miss identity threats if you're only monitoring your credit. Good thing there's a LifeLock, which detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information, they'll send you an alert, and if there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it. But you won't have a problem because you have LifeLock, right, Dawson?
Known to prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com for up to 25% off.
Adam Carolla is unprepared. Live all winter long.
Well, Kimmel Dad, Adam began on stage in free ball. Totally unprepared with no material at all. He's gonna go.
He's gonna go.
He doesn't know.
Doesn't know.
What the hell he's gonna say until you tell him so.
He's gonna go.
He's gonna go.
He doesn't know.
Doesn't know.
Until you give him an idea.
Living out a ball. Get your ticket for the show. What word awaits? He's gonna go.
He's gonna go.
Adam Carolla is unprepared at the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee on January 24th and in Chicago at Park West on January 25th. Get prepared for Adam Carolla is unprepared by getting your tickets at adamcarolla.com.
I love driving through trees.
A ceiling filled with baseball hats.
Oh boy, here's the place to get socks.
Get ready for an adventure.
It's time to go digging for Huel's Jewels.
Carolla's excited.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Dana Gould is in studio. Dana is doing live shows. She's got a Plan 9 from Outer Space live show. That's Sunday at 7 p.m. at the Marines Memorial. Is it called The Marines?
Marines Memorial Theater in San Francisco. That's with Jeffrey Combs from Reanimator. Dave Foley's doing that. Tom Kenny's doing that. Jonah Ray, a whole lot of people. Padgett Brewster.
I love that there's so many different forms of live entertainment now. You know, it used to be music or stand-up, and now
right.
There's live podcasting and
it's
live
the only
movie
way anybody
stuff,
can make money.
Yeah, no, everyone has become, basically, all the entertainers I know have become like prisoners trying to make booze in their cell.
That's right. There's got to be a way. Whoever thought that the internet would bring back vaudeville?
Right. Dana is also doing dates with her friend Bobcat Goldthwait, and they're coming up in Los Angeles, they're coming up in Atlanta, they're coming up in Athens, Georgia as well, and Asheville, North Carolina. And that's all. I think what people should do is they should go to Dana's website, danagould.com, and find a date and find a location where Bobcat are coming near you. Yes, sorry, did I miss something? Gina's on an important call. She's coming in a moment, so we just started without her, but she'll walk in a second if you don't hear her laughter.
She's at the tail end of a heated eBay auction.
And
she's got a snipe away.
Got a snipe. So, let's see. Dana's got Huel's Jewels, and nobody does Huelhauser better than
digging,
Dana
digging
Gould.
For Huel's Jewels sounds like something you do to avoid ending up in an unmarked grave.
And I don't I feel, does everybody have a Huel? Does every local town have a Huel? Does if every local TV station have that character, that guy?
Yeah, we had a guy, but it's all a pale imitation. We had a guy in the, who was the guy in the Bay Area, Dawson? Was the guy
well, Huel was in the Bay Area originally. Yeah, he started that. He was Bay Area Backroads.
Was that Huel? McIntyre or something. No.
But that wasn't it, Huel. But didn't he start, did he end up doing that? Because that's what I remember.
Oh.
Bay Area Backroads.
Well, there was a...
I might be wrong. I don't want to fight.
There's a...
but we should.
He very well could have. We'll find
Shirts
out.
Off. We're fighting. Shirts off.
Now, Max Pata, you went out and did what? How did you find this Huel's gold or Huel's jewels?
Well, I went... I just Googled any Huelhauser show that he's ever done, and I went down an extensive rabbit hole. I mean, he is a wealth of content, but I found... one where he went to Mount San Jacinto in Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what he was in Palm Springs?
What was Huel doing that? Yeah. Palm Springs.
Wow. First time for everything.
Yeah, I think what Huel would do is find places he wanted to go to or was going to or whatever anyway.
Reverse engineer it.
Sure. He did what Phil Rosenthal does with food, which is like, yeah. I want to go to Italy and eat, but I don't want to pay.
Right.
What if somebody paid to watch me eat in Italy? And Huel kind of did that with his life.
I'm at the daycare where they raise the new members of Menudo. No, why would you be down here?
So shall we start? What's the first? The first setup is Huel introduces Mount San Jacinto, Palm Springs. Sorry, go ahead.
Typically get through about one and a half of these.
So yeah, well, here's for those of you who can't see, I'm going to start off right before he even says a word. He's got one of those three-button sport shirts, mm-hmm. pullover sport shirts, tucked into shorts.
Yes.
Right out of the gate.
High green socks and walking shoes.
That is sandals and socks right there, my friend.
That was his look. All right, here we go. Huel set up.
And here we are right in the middle of beautiful Palm Springs, California. Now, one thing you find out about Palm Springs when you come here either as a visitor or as a resident, and that is what dominates this town, physically, geographically, spiritually. And there it is, right over there, magnificent Mount San Jacinto. This mountain is so spectacular and so wonderful. That's where we're going to spend the whole day, on top of Mount San Jacinto.
But what really dominates this town is a leather daddy named El Diablo. He's the mayor of the underworld, and there's no safe words allowed.
Huel, I've been sent by PBS to kind of monitor your progress. Now, don't look at me as a sheriff or security guard in any way, shape, or form, but we have... notice that here we are in year 31, and you're turning to veer off course a little bit. This originally was pitched to us and the taxpayers, our bosses, as a sort of travel log.
It is. There's traveling and there's logs. There's everything you need is going to be in this.
It's a different spelling, I think, in log that we're talking about. But, Huel, what I've watched some of your... I saw the cut you did at the Menudo factory. I saw the one you did at the tortilla factory.
Mm-hmm.
We took a pretty deep dive into the foreman's sexuality at the tortilla factory in Arleta.
Indeed.
What I'm saying is those types of specific details are neither here nor there to the viewer who wants to learn how the tortillas... Hey,
well, you know,
can I ask you this real quick? What's the difference between a corn tortilla and a flour tortilla? Guess who doesn't know? The viewer, because you never stop talking about, I believe his name is Niels.
Niels.
Sexuality.
Well, first I thought his name was a verb, but here's all I have to say.
Yeah, that was in the cut.
You've got to pound some avocados to make some guacamole, and I don't know what that means, but I like the feeling of a handful of guacamole.
Understood.
And if the lights are out, the lights are out. Let's get back to Mount Jacinto. We're going to Mount Jacinto, and if Jacinto's not around, we'll find somebody else.
That's the kind of phraseology I'm talking about.
The top of Mount San Jacinto is the ride up on the Palm Springs aerial tramway, and that's where we are. Wait a minute. What are you taking pictures of? I'm supposed to be filming you. You're not supposed
to pay you.
Where are you from?
He is wearing a fanny pack.
Okay, now,
that's a hat on a hat.
Yeah, we're not going down.
So this is your first experience.
It is the first
time.
What
do you think so far?
Well, it's great, isn't it?
You don't have anything like this in England.
Everything's bigger here, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, my. Now, I'm just curious, do you have any interesting nicknames for cigarettes over there in England? Let's just move along, Hugh.
Well, I know they call women birds. That's about as steep as I run over there. But I could look. Let me just Google. Okay, Hugh, I just Googled that. This is kind of what we're talking about here. This is a travel log show for young folks who want to learn more about the surrounding areas. So, you know,
I was a big, big fan of Gary Glitter, and then I only found out recently that he was also a musician.
I'm not even going to, you know what, that's going to take me a while to process. And I'm just going to assume that you have some sort of Tourette's mixed with some ability to put things in the correct order.
It's all, as they say, it is all a part of life's rich pageant.
Yeah. Oh, okay, Hill. Let's just keep going here. We'll go over. Look at this as sort of, when I used to do radio, we do these things called air checks, you know, and this, let's just go over the game film and see how you've, see if you've performed in your latest assignment. Here we go.
Here we go.
San Diego.
San Diego. Is this your first trip up?
No, we've been up several times before, but in March.
So you've been up when the snow was up on.
Exactly. We've done some snowshoeing, and this time we're hiking to the peak.
Okay. Now, how long a hike is that going to be?
It's 11 and a half miles round trip.
You got plenty of water.
Yeah.
Plenty of bear repellent.
No bears here.
You're right. You've been up before, you know.
That's right.
And you're excited about
it. Too soon, Al.
Now, the people from England, do they hike once you get up there, or are you just going to kind of stand around and look?
No, we haven't got our hiking gear with us. We couldn't fit it in the suitcase, so we're just going to have a look.
All right, so I think that's part of it. Some people go up, whoa! That's when we hit the tower. That's great.
They passed
that
the
was
tower
not worth
that
a whoa. That was not worth a whoa. That's please, Meg. Could that be my new ring?
Hey, Huel. Again, I'm not your boss. I'm not the sheriff. I know Palm Springs is a destination you like to go to. I'm not saying Mount San Jacinto or Janito isn't an important destination. I know they have the Dinosaur Classic over there that draws a certain audience.
It does.
You're there during the weekend for the David Shore Classic. This is a nude ultimate frisbee all-male competition. Does that have anything to do with the timing of you exploring the mountain?
I was down there for two reasons. I was told, do you want to go down to Palm Springs to Mount Jacinto? And I was like, I'll go. I'm not specific to Jacinto or anybody else.
Right.
I'll go.
You understand this is taxpayers do foot the bill for this.
Well, it is public. It's public broadcasting, and I'm happy to do all of this in public. You get into local ordinances. But I'm here to give away the Salminio Award, which goes to the person on the Frisbee team who picks up a funky trick and gets stabbed in a carport.
Okay, Huel, let's just keep going along with the travel log. So far, it's as predicted. Here we go.
Okay, we're filling out our permits here. We're at the ranger station. Here's the ranger himself. Introduce yourself to everybody, Eric.
I'm Eric Hansen.
Eric and I have become good friends this summer because I've been coming up here quite a bit. And do you remember the first day I came in? I was a little apprehensive about what I should do up here, because I'm not really a hardcore hiker.
Yeah, I remember that. You didn't even have water with you that particular time.
I've got water right now. I bought my little water pack here.
Yeah, but you just said, breathe into this rag,
and
the next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire.
I can't...
Eric has out-hueled Huel.
Yeah. He's a Cub Scout. He's an adult Cub Scout.
Giant Cub Scout.
He's out-huled Huel. Yes, he's wearing the shorts. He's got the shirt. He's got the badges sewn on. He's got the hat. Sorry, here we go.
Today, what makes it leak?
Yeah, there's a huge pressure difference when you come up the tram. Your water bottles will do strange things. They'll leak coming up, and they'll capsize going the other direction.
So when you come up with water bottles, you need to kind of unscrew them and let the pressure out.
Yeah, you just have to watch that first drink. When you open it up, it can squirt you pretty good.
We're filling out our
Eric's doing what we call lobbing them over the plate.
Have you ever been squirted pretty good when you're on a campsite?
You'll catch it. You know, you come up there, and if you're not careful, you'll catch it right in the face.
Yeah. I noticed you were talking about pink eye at one of the meetings.
But don't want to catch a funky load going up the tram.
Yeah, but it is just purified water, isn't it?
It starts out that way, but the body does amazing things with fluids.
All right.
Whoa! I think this place is still kind of a secret.
Yeah, a lot of people are surprised that there is such a wilderness setting in Southern California. And
so much dirt,
very
so
rarely
many rocks.
Do they get past the tram building.
I like the dead trees.
There it is. Those go down.
That's the greatest Huel. Hold on a second. Rewind that. You got to rewind that. That is the greatest Huel.
Like if I was a cadaver dog, do you think a cadaver dog would even want to come up here? I don't.
Whoa.
I like the dead trees.
And, bit of a non sequitur.
Very rarely do they get past the tram building.
I like the dead trees.
We leave those go down for a couple of reasons. First is it provides habitat
Hold
for
on
our
a
animals
second. I'm just doing a little air check here. Huel?
Yes?
Most people burn dead trees. Lots of times there's termite colonies living in dead trees.
Yeah, but when...
Sometimes you'll find a decomposing carcass near a dead tree.
Well,
dead tree is something we try to get away from.
No, because when you're around anything that's dead, that's a reminder to you that you're the boss. You're in charge.
You're the boss of a pine tree that's dead?
Anything I kill or chop down, it becomes my tummy friend.
Wait, Huel, maybe there's a metaphor here I'm missing. There's a log. It's a dead tree.
It was a live tree. It was
right,
a live tree.
Right, now it's a dead tree.
And we were playing a little game called Angry Lumberjack and Withholding Tree.
I gotta fill out some
it was
paperwork
giving me
here.
Come hither, look.
The tree was.
You know how some, whether it's a, and when I say tree, it could very well be a lost hiker pretending to be a tree or hiding behind a tree or just running towards the road. Anything, when you have an axe, you're a lumberjack. And everything's, you know how they say when you have a hammer, every problem is a nail?
Yeah.
Well, when you're pretending to be a lumberjack, every lost hiker's a tree. That's how I see it.
Huel, I know I probably brought this up, but again, this is taxpayer money that we're playing around with.
Indeed.
You just walking along endless trails and staring at fallen trees that are dead is I won't call that informative. And
well, I like the dead trees.
Yeah, so you have an opinion, and I get it, but we want to be informed as an audience.
I like to think of it as something. It is to entertainment what the DMV is to service.
Mm-hmm.
It's funded by the taxpayers, mm-hmm. and the fact that it's so far from what it's intended to be, it almost comes around the other side.
Mm.
You almost get to the same place through the back door, and that's my modus operandi is getting to the same place that you go, but I go through the back door. I'm glad I could explain that to you.
Yeah. All right, Huel, let's just keep moving with this air check here.
The second is that it also provides the beginnings of soil. That's where decomposition takes place.
Uh-huh.
So this is the natural way of doing it. And here again is one of these beautiful views.
How are fillings? Do they also decompose
look,
like a dental filling?
Back here.
All right, Huel, you're beginning to sound like a Nazi war criminal at this
Whoa.
Point.
You're only a criminal if you're caught.
It's those kinds of statements that give me pause. Again, I'm in charge of whether you're going to get funding for a 32nd season of California Gold. And some of the things you're saying right now are starting to worry me. I'm tending to want to put my checkbook away.
I know, but what you don't know, what I know is that we're going camping. We're going glamping.
Now, Huell, my wife is at home, and if I don't return by 7 p.m., she's going to alert the authorities.
Oh, sure, but as I said, up here in Mount Jacinto, there's very little signal. and so much wilderness. Have you ever seen German Shepherd tracks up here? I haven't. I don't think they'd make it into the tram.
Well, I Googled, when we were down at the base, I Googled Felch, and I had five bars, but I don't appear to have anything on my phone now. Oh. So, Huell, I understand you're an imposing man, and
We are in a dead zone.
Oh, okay. But understand that my wife, if I don't walk through that front door by 7 p.m., Brenda she does have a phone that works.
Well, I know, and funding's important, and I just want you to consider that I've always thought Brenda would make a lovely widow.
Let me just get my checkbook out.
By the way, I should say, Google Felch was the name of one of my older relatives. He was a character in the original R Gang, but he was cut out. Felch and Stymie were the original three.
If they find my phone and they look at my browser and the history, oh, they won't. Okay, I brought a pen.
You know what I would do if I were you?
Yeah.
Is just write your name in and I'll fill in whatever number I think is appropriate.
Well, Huell, I tell you, I'd be more comfortable if we did that once we got down to base camp.
I'm sure you would.
I feel like my lifeline is this checkbook and my signature on it.
You know, for a band in public radio, it's just think of this as a pledge drive. Instead of a travel mug and a tote bag, I'm giving you yet another sunrise.
Oh.
Now make a pledge.
Sounds like a threat, Huell. Huell,
these haircuts only look like they cost $6.
I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm gonna hang on to the checkbook.
All right.
I'm certainly not going to sign my name to it when we're out in the middle of nowhere.
He's a gambler.
There's no witnesses. What I am going to do is when we get down from the back, and I had to Google funicular, by the way. God, I was scared what would come up. I was delighted when I found that was a cable-driven car.
Sure.
Okay, but what I'm going to have to ask you to do is once we get down to base camp is once you are 100 yards away from me, I will sign this check and I will place it on a rock. I'm going to run in the opposite direction.
That'll
screaming for Uber.
And then after the check is cleared, I'll take you out to Sun Valley and show you a storage facility filled with children's shoes.
Okay. Huell, I've...
Children's shoes and clown makeup.
Huell, I worked closely with the guy with the afro who painted. And
Bob!
Yeah. God rest his soul. He had a dark side to him as well. Yours is...
He had the same shadow as Link from the Mod Squad.
Yes, a dark side.
Same shadow.
Understood. And I didn't know it could get darker than that. But you might.
It gets dark.
Okay, that's what I'm. Huell?
Sorry. Clearing the throat.
Yeah, I know you had a frog in your throat, but you are a briquette compared to that guy.
We're going to have a lot of fun.
Okay, I now would like to just get on the tram alone if I could, and if I could just get to the bottom in one piece. Once again, I told Brenda where I was going. And who I was with.
Why don't you get on the tram alone, and I'll just sit here and look at this little scrap of paper with your children's school's address on it.
Oh, you know where Colfax Elementary is?
Oh, sure.
Oh.
You know, there's a lot of convenient parking around there.
Oh, my God.
One thing I would ask you to do on your phone before we go any farther is you're going to have to turn off location services.
Oh, Huel, I feel like that's all I got left these days. Now, look, my children, they have learning disabilities, and there's pure as a driven snow.
That's the beautiful thing about children.
Well, what's going on?
They trust anybody. And here's what I always ask. If they believe in Santa Claus, how could you believe their testimony?
Okay. Boy, this is taking a turn.
Point taken. Boom.
Yeah, Huel, I'm going to just go ahead. I'm going to take this check. I'm going to sign my name to it.
Beautiful.
I'm going to also remove my wallet.
That's the kind of sugar daddy likes.
I'm going to take one shoe off. And I'm going to strip nude, and I'm going to walk toward the tramp.
All you have to do is walk toward and eyes forward, and you're going to hear things happening behind you.
Huel,
don't look. Did you see Raiders of the Lost Ark?
I did, Huel.
You know how at the end he said, "Don't look."
Yeah.
Don't look.
Okay, Huel. You know what? I've made my peace with God. I've had 54 incredible years on this planet. I worry about my kids now. I understand that I'm not getting off of this mountain.
You're not. How did it take you so long?
But Eric,
but I want you to get off the mountain.
I understand. I've now come to realize that, and maybe I never was going to get off this mountain. But my children, Huel, my children. Are you a family man?
That has many, many definitions.
Okay. To the love of a father, I've now realized. Did you see Poseidon Adventure?
I did. Any movie with Gene Hackman in a turtleneck.
I'm glad you brought that up. At the end, he was swinging off that valve.
Yeah,
I realize I'm Gene Hackman and you're the valve. All right. I'm not going to get off of this ship. I've made my peace with that.
Any movie with Shelley Winter swimming. I've seen it.
I'm now recording this on my phone. Shelley Ann, I forgive you if you want to remarry. No, I'll always be looking over your shoulder and tell Eric and Sammy that I love them very much. There's a man on this mountain. His name is Huel Hauser.
Whoa!
That's him in the background.
Don't look!
There's a version of him that he portrays on the television set that is much different than one that I've witnessed on this mountain in person.
I'm inside the bear now.
Oh, no.
It's the last they ever heard of him.
You'll just please leave my kids out of this.
Quentin Tarantino is going to make an alternate version of the end of this episode.
What was the movie where the guy was explaining, it was in No Country for Old Men, I think, where he was just going, leave my wife out of this. And he was explaining, Javier Bardem was going, I can't.
Yeah, she's part of it.
We already
made
this deal.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have made this deal. Right. That's essentially what I'm doing with Huel. Just, you got me. Yeah. Leave them
out. Basically, this is Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men trying to bargain with Javier Bardem from Skyfall.
It's not working. That took a turn for the surreal.
People ask me, what do you do on the show? Well, I spent a lot of time implying that a dead man was a pedophile when there's no proof of it whatsoever. And people used to call me like, I'm at a restaurant and I'm right next to Huel Hauser. I'm like, well, don't tell him you know me.
That's what I'm saying. Don't bring my name up.
He's a giant man.
Oh, man.
What year did
but
Huel...
But this is, I've never seen this one before, and this is... This is low-hanging fruit. I mean, this should have been on Huel Hauser's low-hanging fruit. It should have been his other...
Huel,
you just squeeze it and it pops out all over your face. What are we watching?
Huel died in 2013.
It was the podcast era.
And he had that weird house in Palm Springs that went up for sale like a year ago.
Yes.
We could probably find out if that sold or not.
Yes, not enough sage to burn to clear that house.
I want to know what happened in Huel's house
and I really want to know, and somebody's got to write this book or make this documentary or do a fiction. I want to know, like, the last 2 years at the Playboy Mansion.
Mm.
You know, those last two, Crypt Keeper, you know, when he's, like, really down, and we're going to have a pajama party tonight.
It's so
gothic is the word that comes to mind.
Have you been there?
I have been. It was a long time ago.
Were you with us? Was he there with us?
I was probably with you guys. I can't imagine who else I'd have been with.
In the times that we went, it was just so weirdly corporate. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it
never, he didn't feel show
like,
up.
Didn't feel like the swinging Playboy Mansion of old.
It's, no. It's rented out for events.
The saddest zoo in the Western Hemisphere. But
wait, did we know that Huelhauser's house looks like a spaceship?
We just looked at it.
That's
it.
That's LAX.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like Encounters, the restaurant.
That's amazing.
At LAX.
Right.
And the thing that was craziest about...
It's a volcano house. A volcano being something that erupts.
It erupts regularly.
So where are you guys with the Playboy Mansion and that when I watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, they had the whole scene there, and it is as it was.
Right.
And anyone who's been there in real life sees the bad shag carpet and the funky paneling and stuff. On the other hand, that's the time capsule part. You know, you don't want to modernize.
No.
Totally. And that's like, I'm sure up to like 1977.
Right.
That place was like a 13-year-old boy with all money and no parents.
Right.
It's like anything you could do.
Right.
But they never updated it, and it was just like, and you know, you go there, you know, when we were going there, and it's the same carpet, it's the
same water in the grotto.
I look at that grotto, and I just think that's a lot of, if you took a water sample from that grotto, you could grow your own James Caan.
Also, I always thought about the end, because see, when Hugh Hefner was like at the end, you know, and he'd do things like movie night or backgammon night, and he had to have some drugged up 22-year-old there, and he'd be like, good news, ladies, Don Adams and Forrest Tucker coming over.
I was going to make a Don Adams reference.
And they're like, oh, the fuck is Don Adams? Like, all right, now don't be starstruck. Don't be nervous.
Don't
speak to him like he's a regular guy.
You are the only other human being that would know that Don Adams was at movie night except for me.
Right. He's crazy. The guy played Agar from, or Agarn from
F-Troop
and stuff like that. Like,
and I'm going to tell you gals about Ernie Kovacs.
Yes, what was the...
Montgomery Clift.
Yeah.
What was the actor who played Agarn from F-Troop?
Agarn was a Bob Shell? Yeah.
Larry Shumba? Storch.
Larry Storch.
Larry Storch and Forrest Tucker. But then there was another guy that was the...
Right.
It was Bob Shell.
Right.
And the great thing about F-Troop is you want to see old Jewish guys playing Native American Indian
it's
chiefs.
The best.
Do I?
It's the best. Bob Steele. But anyway, telling the young gals that Larry Storch and Don Adams were swinging by the house in 2009.
Look your best.
It's just blown their minds.
And another thing, and from one of the things that I read, an image that you have to keep in mind if you haven't towards the end is whoever his last girlfriend was had these two untrained chihuahuas, not to be redundant, and that there's a lot of Hugh picking up dog poop. Oh no, another Tootsie Roll.
I interviewed him once, and I think he kind of said he's been with a dude or two.
Oh yeah,
you mean just in a group setting.
But I think that was the thing, like in the 60s and 70s, like, yeah, you know, we
couldn't be uptight.
Yeah, it's like whatever.
Or is it
exciting, exciting sexual adventures?
Is it that, or like when someone is walking their dog, they get into a fight with another dog, they go in to break it up, and their own dog bites them? Like you're in an orgy, and the next thing you know, like, I thought I was sucking my own dick. Whose dick is this?
That's what I mean. I doubt it was like a one-on-one encounter.
I wouldn't put it past him.
I don't know who that guy is, but that's kind of a notch in your calf, right? On your bedpost.
Yeah. I've never been in an orgy, but that would be like, hey, wait a minute. Hang on a second.
I don't know what orgy etiquette is, but I don't know. I feel like I would. I feel like my problem.
I can't see this girl's face, but her hips are so hairy. Those aren't her hips.
My orgy problem is I would probably clearly be attracted to one person mm-hmm. and not the other two, right. And then I would feel self-conscious about that.
Spreading the wealth.
Yeah, and then you'd start positioning like, hey, we're going to do a train. And then you go, I want to be the dining cart. No, we had you more as the caboose. You're more the coal. No, I want to get... I'd be trying to figure out where the...
Right.
Where the prime place was for the train.
It sounds very stressful.
It does. It's stressful.
It really does. Like, you know, we're at an age now where it's like, I don't know.
More trouble
like,
than it's worth.
Sounds like a lot of work.
And also the prep. I mean, I've never had a bottle brush in my ass, but I don't think I could attend an orgy without, like, boiling myself in Beazel nut juice.
I
could never just show up. Like, I just got done playing hoop. Where's the orgy?
Well, I have... Will Chamberlain's house had an orgy room. It was a circular, and it was all, like, the entire room... The floor was like couch cushions, but it was one giant cushion.
Like so the game sunken, room, the game exactly, room at the sunken mansion. Den right. in the game room.
And
we're looking at Will's
room. I've been in that room
mm-hmm.
because George Meyer, the Simpsons writer, and his wife bought that house, and they totally redid that, and they pulled out all that stuff. And the thing I remember about that house. Yeah, I've been in that room, and those are two-way mirrors. You can look in from the outside, and I think that was part of it. The weird thing about that house that I remember was, like, all the toilets are, like, 4 feet off the ground.
Sure.
Because it's for Will Chamberlain.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
He described it as a kinky house with kinky details. Yeah, Wilt did. And then George turned it into, like, just a super cool...
The thing about the orgy room for me is like I couldn't have that much crushed velvet. You know what I mean? I'd shape it a little more like a monkey cage. Like I'd put a floor drain in.
And once you have kids, like, could you run down to the orgy room and see if my phone's down there?
I'd have more of an orgy bouncy castle, like something I could hose off and get my deposit back on.
Orgy closet.
self-cleaning orgy room would be a great...
All right.
There were a lot of stories about Bill Cosby, too, back in the day at the Playboy Mansion.
Oh, my God. It was this great symbiotic relationship because Bill would, like, host all the Bunny Olympics and host the disco night.
Could go wrong?
So the notion of you have the literally probably highest paid host... celebrity, whatever. Right. Like, if you're Monsanto and you want him to fly out to Iowa and do a corporate event in 1979, it's going to be $200,000. That's Bill Cosby. But he'll come and host the Playboy Bunny Olympics for free.
Oh, sure. He's a humanitarian.
Yeah. Well, he was paid in human beings.
Yes. It's funny, too. It's always surreal and bizarre to see him dancing at the beginning of his show. I'm the friendliest, most innocuous guy in the world. I'm everyone's uncle. And then he'd wear all the sweaters, the super colorful sweaters. And at some point, he got the clear glasses, which even gave him a look of, like between the sweater, the dancing, and the clear glasses, like, oh, this guy can't be a predator.
Harmless.
Look at him.
Yeah, well, there was a Old People magazine from, 1986 that famously is like the reader's poll most respected man in America, Bill Cosby.
Right.
It's like beat Reagan.
Yes.
It's America's dad.
We didn't know.
No.
But I always suspect that the dancing at the beginning of all the shows and the crazy Partridge Family bus sweaters and stuff like that. Like,
throw us off the scent.
Did he wear those funky sweaters because he thought they looked good? Because they don't look good.
Well,
he was always wearing a college hoodie as well. But it's like all the things you do to get the guy off, to get everyone off the scent. Right.
True.
Right?
Well, that's the miracle of the Mr. Rogers documentary. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, I did.
Because you keep waiting. The first 40 minutes is you're waiting for that other shoe to drop.
Right.
Literally.
And then his son is like, well, you know, he made these puppets. Like, no.
Right.
And then they ended up using them in the show.
Right.
Oh, God. Don't do that.
It's a wild ride.
But it's amazing. Like, he was a really nice guy, and he was very successful, and he never raped anybody. We don't know how that happened. We don't know. It's an anomaly.
Which is weird because to kids, and I'm not besmirching a beloved Mr. Rogers. The documentary is incredible. I didn't really grow up watching him because, you know, we were the first ones on the block to have cable. Right. But when I would go to friends' house and see him, he made me very uncomfortable. Mm. I wasn't comfortable watching Mr. Rogers. Uh-huh. And it turns out he's the best.
No, he had the... I don't think people, by that point, you just, that level of sincerity seemed creepy.
Yes, yes.
My Mr. Rogers thing was I could watch Mr. Rogers or I could take an avocado pit, put three toothpicks in it and put it in a mason jar and fill it halfway with tap water and set it on a windowsill and stare at it.
Yeah.
And there'd be kind of a toss-up in the entertainment department because eventually a little bug would come out. A little sprout would come out of that thing. Yeah,
it was for a four-year-old.
I was a speed racer, guys. Like, I need more going. Yeah. I need a little more action in my life.
Or Fraggle Rock.
Or Kimba.
The White Lion.
Yeah.
All right, first let me hit the 8sleep.com. Every podcast has mattress ads. There's thousands of them, but there's only one that we use here, and it has a technology, and the technology is it controls the temperature for your deepest sleep. I use this thing every night. It is awesome. The Pod by 8sleep. First bed to combine dynamic temperature regulation and sleep tracking. Research shows that there's a link between sleep performance and temperature. Of course there is. If you're hot, you're tossing and turning. If you're cold, it's not going to work. The Pod reacts in real time, adjusting the temp to keep you comfortable. The stats say it all. Pod customers fall asleep faster, toss and turn 25% less, and have a 17% increase in deep sleep. So take care of your sleep hygiene. This year, it's very important that you get a good, restful night's sleep. And right now, you can get $150 off and free shipping at 8sleep.com/Adam. That's E-I-G-H-T, sleep.com/Adam. All right, quick break. We'll come back and do the news with Dana and Gina Grad and Bull Bryan right after this.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. 2020 is here, and another year of Adam's Monthly Nut is about to bust. This month's shipment includes a Mr. Burcham tape measure, so you can remember the horrors of the jungle while marking that 2x4. A Wallet Ninja credit card multi-tool. There will come the time you will save the day with it. A sack of Aussie's famous flank steak seasoning, so you can make your meat taste just like Aussie's. And as always, a bottle of your choosing. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
All right, hold on.
Oh, God, I don't want
to. Dana's first time on the show.
Dana knows things about the Playboy man.
Well, I assume we were on break.
It was. Tell me about Tim Bagley from the Groundlings, who I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, nothing bad about Tim.
No.
A story he told me.
Yes.
So Vince Vaughn and Ellen DeGeneres now have something in common. Like DeGeneres, the actor's being criticized for chatting up a president at a sporting event, according to CNN. We're watching the video right now. You can't hear what they're saying. A brief video of Vaughn chatting with Trump and First Lady Melania during the college football playoff national championship game Monday in New Orleans has made many people upset online. It started when former Deadspin writer and editor Timothy Burke tweeted, quote, "I'm very sorry to have to share this video with you. All of it,
every part of it. And it's just them chit-chatting and then him getting up and shaking his hand while everybody else in the stands is singing Sweet Caroline. The actor, you know, shakes his hand, and that's when everyone started calling to, quote, cancel Vince Vaughn. That became a huge topic on Twitter. And the backlash is a little reminiscent of Ellen DeGeneres. She received a little heat after hanging out with George W. Bush at a Dallas Cowboys football game in October.
Can I say this? People have people they don't like in show business. Mm-hmm. People have people they don't like in politics. And they make their voices heard on the internet and so right. on and so forth. When you run into that person, when you're face to face with that person, you don't have a lot of options.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we all, ultimately, everyone sort of bows to the position. So if you're the president or you're Bill Cosby,
yeah.
Look, if you hit a camera, if you hit a camera in an elevator mm-hmm. and had most Americans walk into an elevator with a hidden camera and Bill Cosby just got on or Harvey Weinstein just got on, there'd be some pleasantries exchanged. You wouldn't go, you're yeah. a monster. Get away from me. I'm taking the escalator. You'd go like, I like some of Tarantino yeah. stuff with you on
yeah,
it.
Shakespearean loves a good movie.
Yeah. yeah. And there's the social, you know, it's...
Contract.
It's a social contract. Yeah, like, it is the... I didn't vote for the guy, and I wouldn't vote for the guy, but he's the president of the United States.
It's the president of the United States. Yeah. And there's
you're a citizen.
I don't know where the bar is. Like, do you think you punch him, or just pull your hand back, or put an explosive vest on?
Yeah,
like, what is
him,
your...
Punch him. See how that works.
See what happens. Look, who amongst us has not met the new beau or new girlfriend mm-hmm. of the ex, or the fucking business partner, yep. whatever, the ex-agent from William Morris who screwed you over and it's been 7 years. And all of a sudden, look, I was backstage at Celebrity Apprentice, and I just opened Arsenio's curtain and walked into his little green room, and there was like my old agent, John Farriter, who I'd fired a long time ago, who's now dead. It was like, standing, yeah. like, oh my God, I fucking told someone to fire him. Like, oh, right. I was like, oh, hey, John, how you doing, man? Like, that's
yeah,
the mode you snap into.
I was at Whole Foods, nah, not to brag, and I look, and there's Robert Blake.
Right.
And I'm just closer to him than I am to you.
And you watch 7,000 episodes of Beretta. Right.
And he probably killed a woman.
Right.
But locally.
Yeah. But I didn't say, murderer. Like, right. How you doing?
Yeah. Nobody. Not many people do that. Yeah. It's not part of our wiring. I have no idea what Vince Vaughn is supposed to do. He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy, and he's also been a Republican since 1987. Yeah, I mean,
is he a libertarian?
I don't know what he is, but I don't know what he is. And I care even less.
Right,
but I don't judge people by what letter follows their voting name. But.
Agreed. Can I come out of left field with a theory? Mm-hmm. Like we're in a much more cynical, sophisticated place than we were however many years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. This is out of the Russian playbook, right? Like, I doubt very much there are a lot of actual people saying, like, cancel Vince Vaughn. Like, that's kind of, it's been there, done that. It's like, we're kind of over that. No one's actually, I'm sure there are a couple people saying that. Not a lot of people are saying that. Yeah. I'm sure, I would be very surprised if it wasn't like, you know, Russian troll farm, because that's their playbook, right? Just kind of stoke
chaos.
Just kind of stoke chaos.
I did not know this.
It's not the Rudy playbook, but it is the Russian playbook.
Russian playbook.
A lot of the crap about people hating on Rian Johnson for the second Star Wars movie
was Russian troll farms.
I had no idea.
They just want to get people fighting.
Yeah,
maybe that's it.
Are there Vince animals on troll farms? Like
neighbor, he's a nice guy. I don't know if there's. Here's a question. Vince is. I don't know. I guess he's a Republican. He's more on the conservative side of especially Hollywood. Ellen is not. Is there more ire toward the guy who's like shaking the guy's hand? We're like, oh yeah, because he agrees with him and he voted with him.
No, there's much more ire toward
Benedict Arnold, who's crossed over in the Ellen department.
I think there's a lot more ire pointed towards her.
Okay, well, anyway.
The betrayal factor.
I had people. He's been on the show, Mike Murphy.
Yeah, Mike Murphy.
Recently.
Yeah.
Mike is one of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to some movie, and somebody said they saw you out with Mike Murphy.
Yeah.
We hang out quite often, actually.
Well, what, first off.
And we have a different opinion about the role of government in business.
There's a couple theories. Like, first off, do you want to just fuck yourself over and over again? Like, are you looking for your own doppelganger to marry and lay down with? Yeah. Like, I am not. Like, when people do that thing where it's like, you know, these guys, they just want to marry their mom. It's like, no, you don't want to get near Chris Carolla. Yeah. That's for fucking sure. I want the exact opposite. Sure. Like, I love the diversity.
Right.
I sit down and watch football with the Nick Santoras and the Kevin Hencheses of the world and Cousin Sal's, and everyone has a different idea. You know, the first thing we agree on is...
Hedge, and that Hench is a commie.
First thing we agree on is Hench is a pinko.
He makes me look conservative.
Hench is probably my best friend out of that group in that we spend the most time going out for steaks and having meals together.
He's a great guy.
100%. A great guy. Super liberal, super progressive guy. First rule is everyone has to make everyone laugh.
Sure.
Second rule is whatever you say, it's got to be smart. Doesn't matter what side you're on or what's your opinion on. It has to make sense. No, I know in my heart of hearts, or this is the way I feel, and you can't take it away from me. And then after that, it's ribbing mixed with, you know, spirited dialogue, and it's how you 100%. Grow. There's nothing, there's no animosity, there's no anything.
I've told this story before. I'm very liberal and progressive, but I also know the country that I live in, and I don't demand that everything I think should be the way it is.
Right.
I did Real Time with Bill Maher. I did Politically Incorrect, the original show, and I did it with Charlton Heston, with whom I agreed on nothing.
Right.
Who could not have been a nicer person. And then I did it with Michael Moore, with whom I tend to agree more, and he was not even a little pleasant.
Well, that's the whole thing.
I would go have lunch with Heston, and he couldn't have been nicer.
Oh, do you just want to sort of put your head in a trash can and hear your own voice rattle around?
Twitter. It's called Twitter.
I like to hear a diversity of opinions.
Well, let's not forget that great, compelling story that Brian Whitman told about Sean Hannity. Essentially saying Brian was admittedly, pretty screwed up on whatever, on, you know, drugs or substance abuse. And his very dear friend, Sean Hannity, said, I need you to do this for me. I need you to go to this very expensive rehab and it will help you and you'll get better. And Brian said, I can't afford it. And he said, it's been taken care of.
Yeah.
Just go.
Opinions don't make people bad people. This notion of the grandiosity of you either agree with me or you're a bad person is an incredible narcissistic, grandiose thought. People have different opinions.
I've been running up. I run against, you know, a lot of the very aggressive Sanders people. And look, if it's Trump versus Sanders, I'm going to vote for Sanders. But there's all these people that think that only he can stop climate change. And And I think a lot of that comes from being in my 50s. Now, I've seen this movie before. I know how this movie ends. Our system was designed to prevent any one man or woman to come in and change everything.
Yeah.
That's why, despite the fact that you might not like the president, your life isn't really that different day to day than it was before, because Rick Overton said it really well. The country's a Mack truck. Every 4 years, we put a different hood ornament on. Sometimes it's a bulldog. Sometimes it's an eagle. But by and large, the truck moves where the truck wants to go.
Well, I've always said, you know, same way as my, you know, when I have... I mean, you travel with Danny Two Sheets Kellison, and he's ordering. He likes Two Sheets, and he's like, he's three to the wind, but he's two on the Murphy bed. But he'll do the Stoli, blah blah blah, vodka, blah blah. I go, Danny, you can't tell the difference, you know, and he can't tell the difference. And I always say, if you took the biggest supporter of Trump or the biggest proponent of Trump or President Obama, vice versa, whatever, you locked them in a closet and they had no information as to who won anything, no one would know.
No one
knows. No one would know who was in the office. I firmly believe that. I mean, your average American on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about a small group of whoever in the military or trying to seek asylum or whatever it is. But your average American, I don't think, would know.
And there's the other thing. And again, you get it. You know, unfortunately, you don't, you know, they say youth is wasted on the young because you don't realize this till you've seen this cycle before a couple times.
You think, yes, you have to go through it.
Oh, you still think that a politician can solve your problems?
Right.
Oh, okay.
That's true.
Oh, good. Yeah.
All right. So Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
I like the Russian bot notion.
But remember,
maybe something there.
The former editor of Deadspin was the one that put up the audio and said, I got to show you every part of this. But
and it's also
on board.
Twitter, which is a
pile on.
Well, it's a cesspool. It's, you know, people, and I'll shut up. Like, but all of these, all of the, like, the Bernie people versus the Warren people and the Biden people, and it's like the people that are going to decide this election know what Twitter is, aren't on it.
Right.
You know, it's a percentage of a percentage of a percentage of a percentage.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, speaking of climate change and who is and is not going to fix it, Fox News reports that smoke from the devastating Australian bushfires will travel around the globe, according to NASA. So the space agency has been using its network of satellites to monitor smoke from the wildfires, and citing unprecedented conditions caused by intense heat and dryness, NASA notes that the fires have caused, quote, an unusually large number of fire-induced thunderstorms. They say, quote, these events provide a pathway for smoke to reach the stratosphere more than 10 miles in altitude. And once in the stratosphere, the smoke can then travel thousands of miles from its source, affecting atmospheric conditions globally. So it'll make its whole way around, and then and then we'll see what happens.
Can something be horrible and also kind of cool?
Well, meteors? It is like nothing better looking than fire at night from a satellite, right?
Have you heard about the wombats?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Wombats are these incredibly vicious animals that live in Australia.
Oh, I was hoping.
Are they really?
Yeah.
My parents used to call me a baby wombat.
Yeah, well, term for an ethnicity.
No, it's a ska band.
No, they have claws like a wolverine.
Yeah. Right.
But they're a predator. And they are letting other animals into their dens that they would normally hunt and kill. Because they're safe and fireproof and underground.
Benevolent.
Wow.
And it's this miracle thing. Like, we did not think this would happen.
Wow.
And the wombats are literally watching as, like, these other animals file into their dens and they let them go in and not die in the fire.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
This is like, was it the end of Day After Tomorrow when Mexico let us in as refugees?
I think that was, was it that, or was it the meteor?
That was the
movie?
End of Cheech and Chong's Nice Dreams.
Was that the meteor movie, or was that Death
Tomorrow? I don't know. There's like seven movies that all came out at the
same time.
One had the arcs.
Yeah.
And the Deep Impact, they went to the Lime Caves.
Right. One ended up with refugees and going to Mexico.
What was the weather one? Was that the
Day After Tomorrow?
Day After Tomorrow?
That was where the extreme freezing and flooding.
Yeah, where a guy was being chased by ice.
What?
It's not that movie,
it was literally
Gina.
Like
not
it was ice. Running and ice was being formed really
not
quickly.
The Mexico ice. That
But No, I meant actual frozen water.
Yeah, no windbreakers involved. Well, you know, there's always a flaw to those movies.
Or was it Independence Day?
No, I think Max Pat will look it up. I don't think, I don't know. We ended up, Mexico took us in
and we forgave
as
their
refugees
dad or something. Yeah,
or something,
in exchange for forgiving
something
their dad.
At the end of, I think it was Day After Tomorrow. But anyway, look it up. Anyway. There is a flaw in all those movies because the one guy is always the climate scientist, right? And then some point, about 18 minutes into Act One, after Tokyo is showered with meteors or whatever it is, or the tidal wave rolls over Maui or something, the guy then goes, you know, where they go, Bob, this wasn't projected to happen according to your calculations for another 41 years. I was wrong. It's happening Thursday. And then for the rest of the information, we go to him for the information.
It was off by 40 years.
So the shit you said wasn't going to happen in our lifetime is happening Thursday at noon. Uh-huh. And what else do you have to share with us from an informational standpoint?
And when those movies are made in the 50s, they had one of my favorite plot devices, which was the newscast that gave way too much personal information. Mm-hmm. The prediction was originally made by Professor Thomas Jameson, whose daughter is currently on leave and living in sin.
Right. Yeah, they had to do it.
But the only man who can punch a meteor.
Exposition, yeah. Yeah, well, what movie? Now I'm going nuts.
The internet's down.
Oh, the internet's down. All right, sorry.
This is for me. I was looking.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was either Meteor or ID4. I don't know.
There was a scene in Independence Day where they let the people in Mexico, but I'll try and find it.
I think this was later. Yeah.
I just keep thinking of Born in East L.A. with Cheech Marin.
Could have been a Deep Impact. Sorry.
I don't remember.
Go ahead, Gina Gray.
Oh, that was
one of those. One of those starring Vince Vaughn, I believe. Isn't he in Meteor?
God, there's now so many movies and so many names and so many things roiling around in my head. I can't think of it anymore.
And does Tower Records get taken out in every one of them?
Yes. And again, Angeline. Yeah.
And you know,
that's right.
And for people who, you know, and the other way, too, it's like, yeah, you can be friends with Vince. You know who's very good friends with Vince Vaughn and who Vince Vaughn is very good friends with them? Janine.
Oh,
Garofalo.
Yeah. Did not know that.
Yeah, they did a movie in the early 90s, and they've been really good friends ever since.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
No, it's not.
All right, let me hit Geico.
There's no money in it.
Garofalo. Geico.com. Easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. So take them all and put them all together at Geico. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could be saving. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That is Geico.com. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grand.
All right. Well, TMZ reports that there has been another bizarre police incident at Antonio Brown's house. Several Hollywood Police Department in Hollywood, Florida, that is, officers arrived at Brown's home around 10 a.m. on Monday, and Chelsea Kiris, the mother of Brown's three kids, was there too. Brown repeatedly told the officers he had previously evicted her from the home, but allowed her on the property to pick up the kids and take them to school. But Brown claims during the handoff, Chelsea tried to steal one of his cars and he got upset. Here's the first clip.
And definitely not.
She's here for to take the kids to school. She's trying to steal the vehicle. She shouldn't even be here. I let her in on the script of the kids. You want to see the messages? The kid's not going to school. She's here trying to steal in the car, trying to finesse a Bentley. Bitch, you don't drive Bentleys. This is not your life.
So then Brown started yelling at the cops and joking about how they couldn't even do their jobs.
That's a good idea.
Here's that.
It always works for black men.
She don't have no car. This bitch is a baser. She have two other kids. She stay at a hotel. Look at her. She's a fucking lost cause. Look at her. These niggas got to make calls for niggas to get justice. The police can't even know what to do. They got to call. They feel me? Call other niggas.
It's not a good sign when the police call others.
Finally, he grabbed a little bag of penis-shaped gummy candies and starts sort of taunting the ex with those. Here it is.
Hey, Charles, here go the bag of dicks.
You just had those
fish
on.
Head, fish head. Fish. Fish, here go the bag of dicks, fish.
Yeah.
Charles, here go the bag of dicks.
In front of the kids.
Fucking basic.
So he finally, Brown also acknowledges that the standoff doesn't look good for his NFL future, but he said, quote, fuck the NFL, this is real life.
Uh-huh. You know, I'm going to
pitch. I wonder what that house would look like if it weren't for the NFL.
I'm going to pitch.
Dana,
please. You know, there'd be another family living in it. I'm going to pitch this to Mark Garagos because he's got the big three, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a lot of guys getting into trouble in the NFL and stuff like that. We could have Colin Kaepernick passing to Brown. Like, we'd start a two-on-two NFL
like a flag
competition.
Yeah,
like, all the guys, for one reason or another, weren't welcome on a team. We just do, they have three-on-three basketball. Absolutely. Now. It's popular.
Ray Rice can play.
Right. We get all the guys who are drummed out of the league, but still got legs.
Half court.
And we just take them on, like in a pickup game. You know, you got to wear like a t-shirt with the sleeves cut off and like sweatpants and sneakers, like no cleats.
Like
you know what
Park,
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were,
like
those his, were those his gummies? That, like, and if so, how? That's my question.
Do you have those on hand?
Yeah.
I have no idea, but I'm guessing if he has a little pack of dick gummies, they could be CBD, like chewables. I don't know.
Insightful, Gina.
It's possible.
Have you seen those before?
Anecdotally, it's possible.
being super fast is a blessing at the beginning part of your life, but it kind of bites you in the ass at some point. You don't tend to hit the books as hard. You're a little less focused on the reality of life. Yeah. Like, if you can really haul ass. And the thing that's interesting about flat-out speed is, you know, we always have that thing where it's like, if you can dance, all is forgiven.
Right.
Like, you know, Chris Brown or Michael Jackson. Like, when you're talking about Michael Jackson, you go, God, that guy was an animal. At some point, you go, but he could move. And like, it's like, okay, all is forgiven.
Another guy in the 80s. Yeah. Like, we didn't know.
Yeah, Priest can't dance, so we don't cut him a lot of slack. But if they could dance, if they could do, like, the moonwalk, really we'd go, yeah, Father Murphy can move, though. But
point taken.
If you are fucking flat out fast. Yeah. Like, if you can run a 4.2, 4.3, whatever, 40, it's all God given. Like, when you're 17, 18, 19, and you can just flat out run like a 4.4, sub 4.4, 4.3, 40, that isn't because you were in the weight room, and it's not because you're stretching and doing lunges or anything. Some guys can move, some guys can't move. If you can completely haul ass, you can make your way onto a college team or even a pro team if you have scary speed. And it's all just delivered. It's not it's not like, well, if you can act. But yeah, but you have to work at it a little bit. You have to practice. You know, oh, if you're funny, yeah, but you got to do 10 years of stand-up before you can start getting rich off it. Yeah. This is you being 19 and running a 4.2, 7.40, and you'll make any team in the league.
Or
what
crazy
are you
hot.
Talking about?
What's that?
Or being born just crazy hot.
Yeah. Crazy
like,
hot.
It's the guy version. Yeah.
It's the black man's burden. It's the brother's version of the blonde just being piping fucking Bo Derek when you're 15. Like somebody just snatches you up and takes you to Greece and make a movie out of you. On you. Whatever. That's how it all kind of works. But big picture doesn't work.
No.
It just doesn't because you don't get all those skills and all that stuff you need.
And eventually you slow down.
Or you get some that's what he yells to slow you down. And you start getting some crow's feet as a woman the phone stops ringing and you're not in the show. But I am going to pitch this league.
That's smart. 2-on-2 passing league.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yes,
there comes a time when, as a like a super hot person, when guys stop letting you into traffic. Like,
right.
Hey, what happened?
Right. Day after tomorrow, the VP forgives a large amount of debt and lets the folks cross into Mexico. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
That's the kind of sugar daddy likes.
Gina. That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, Last with Bald Brian, just $4.99, featuring Dana Gould and other notables as well.
Thank you both. For the great sets, by the way.
I was talking about how funny Larry Miller was on that.
Everyone.
This morning, which is weird.
How about that?
I forget who I was talking to.
You forget what that guy does. I mean, you forget it's what pro. A pro he is.
Yeah.
All right.
Scary good.
Dana, and I should give, you can go to amcroll.com and get that. The money's going to charity.
Right.
Dana over here playing 9 from Outer Space live Sunday at 7 p.m. at the Marines Memorial Theater in San Francisco. And if you want live dates with him and Bobcat, they're both great stand-ups, you go to his website, danagould.com, and listen to the podcast, Dana Gould Hour, as well on Apple Podcasts. And shoot him a tweet at Dana Gould as well. And go to adamcroll.com for all my live shows. And go to Chassis, Chassy, for all the documentaries we've made over there. And enjoy them on Netflix as well. And so until next time, Adam Kroll for Dana Gould and Gina Grad and Bald Brian. Say mahalo.
If they believe in Santa Claus, how could you believe their testimony?
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Adam Carolla. Voicemail, here's the number. Call it. Say something. 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Carolla Classics, produced by Chris Loxamana and Superfan Giovanni. And get tickets and info on everything we discuss on the show at the website. It is adamcarolla.com.